February 2nd, 2010, Bible study lesson number 126. Living Stuff and Dying Bible Ministry, lesson 126, I should say. With the end of it, we have the subsidiaries, obedience to God or man. Bible study lesson number 38. We're going to be clarifying for you why you have to look to God, not to man, and what we're dealing with right now. We're looking back at Adam in creation. We're going to see more than we've ever saw before of what God did for Adam, the man, in the state of innocence. We're trying to bring forth for you, let you understand and see something of what God had, the glories and the wonders of what He created. A man who would walk and talk with God the Son daily, in the cool of the evening. But he would fall. We're taking into the depths of anthropology. We've reached the point. Creation, God created. We saw there's nothing. There's no other way to put it. By law means to manufacture something out of nothing. And God said, let us make man in our own image. God was designing something perfect. God the Son. Why? Because he was preparing the race from which God the Son would come on earth to create the new race, because he would come forth. Sin is perfect. But Adam became the type for Christ while he was there in the Garden of Innocence. And this we need to understand. We need to understand what Adam was before the fall a little bit more. I don't think you've got the full impact of it in your soul. Before we go, let's pray for silent prayer. Give you time to make sure you're in the filling of the Spirit. And I've got full objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Blessed name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. So hear and so come, Lord Jesus. Now, it is normal for us as individuals to desire to know something of our ancestor and our ancestral history. I gave you the quote from Emily Bancroft. In every man or individual, there is any desire to know something of his ancestor and ancestral history, and that is true of us as individual men and women concerning our every desire to true of us racial representatives of the human species we are being. What is man and what's he can be? It amazes me that man, a lot of his intellect, was the byproduct that we came forth out of primordial soup. The evolutionary stage that man is ever going upward, and therefore the mind, our original ancestry for what it was. There is absolutely no scientific facts and trustworthy evidence that man came from beneath as a product of the life forces or purposes of the material universe. There is only strong evidence that his origin was from above through the power of God put forth in creation. The whole caveman concept is a concept of backwards fallen man, not a concept of original creation. We point out that there occurs a Hebrew word for created by law, and this connection shows an absolute separation of mankind from the animal kingdom in Genesis chapter 1. God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness. This was the making for God the Son's body, as the one that would be in Adam would be in his likeness. We point out to you, and then, so God created, Bara, Genesis 1:27, manufactured something out of nothing, man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Man and female created them. Man's creation was decreed in Genesis 1:26. Man's in the dispensation of triune Godhead, man's creation was declared to be a fact in Genesis 1:27. Now, the method of creation. Namely, they considered it was not by evolution or natural development, by reason of force within matter, organic or inorganic. because God made man to have a direct relationship with him from the beginning. The resurrection of man himself proceeded from the principle of evolution and development. Man started from nothing, began in ignorance, helplessness, and inexperience. This is true in human affairs. Man has gone from the plowshare to the steam shovel, to the great technological equipment that we have, from moving earth and creating and building buildings and things today, from the raft to the great ocean liner, from the cave to the skyscraper. But the birds build on us today as at the beginning. The moment we pass the boundary of the divine spirit, no trace or sign of evolution is found. But this is not a revolution of technological works and stuff. But I tell you to look and consider this. City of Seattle imploded the kingdom 25 years, approximately 25 years after they had built it. The Great Pyramid still stands in Egypt today. 4,000 years old, still standing. Have we progressed? Have we progressed? Or have we digressed? Isaiah 19:19, Peter says, in that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar and a board of iron to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. I think that's the great pyramid of Egypt. I think that is the sign in Egypt. I believe it is the altar in the midst of the land of Egypt and the sign on the border. I've taught this to you, explained to you how this was quite possible. And it fulfills the principle of it. There is no known time within the historical records when this pyramid was not famous. Herodotus, the so-called father of history, as early as 445 B.C., made a personal examination of it and devoted some of his most interesting paragraphs to it. It was then already considered variation. Traditional accounts of it erected and he gathered to an interpreter from an Egyptian priest and those he has recorded with less particularity. His own appreciation of the structure and of the causeway over which the materials were conveyed was that of wonder and admiration. You want to study this? We don't have time to teach it all to you. Again, if there's some of this before, you can get right into the Herodotus Book 2, Chapter 124, Volume 2. Homer did not seem to make any allusion to it, perhaps for the reason he had no connection with mythology, and he was writing the religious worship of the pagan Greeks. Eratosthenes in 236 B.C., Diodorus Siculus in 60 B.C., and Strabo and Pliny about the beginning of our era, the Christian age, dispensation. The modern friend of Pliny also said the authors who have written upon him are Herodias, Euhemerius, Darius Sanius, Aristodorus, Dionysius, Artemidorus, Alexander, Polyhistor, Butorides, Artisthenes, Demetrius, Demopolis, and Appian. The Great Pyramid has been standing in place for 4,000 years, only in a very recent period of time, that people have begun seeking a rational appreciation for it. For 3,000 years of existence, it came up to the time of the medieval Caliph al-Mamun, no modern man perhaps ever penetrated into his upper pastures and made openings. Certainly for many centuries before him, it was completely closed up, no entrance to it being known to any more to any human being. The son of Harun al-Rashid and the Arabian Nights, probably the almost worshipped as a god, was so wrought upon by the romance and fabulousness of his court that he was led to believe that the Great Pyramid crowded full of precious treasuries. All the dazzling riches, jewels, medicines, charms, and sauce of Shaddad bin Ab, Muslims, made under the leading king of the earth, was made to glitter before the lavish fancy of Al-Mamun. He therefore set his host at work to quiet out the opening of the wonderful treasure house full of astonishing riches. Indeed, it was not the soil of which he was draining. They went into there, they found out the great wealth there. The building stands, a testimony to the genius of man 4,000 years ago, it has stood the pages of time. Pages of history have unfolded and stands. There is a testimony that man has not progressed, but regressed. We cannot build a building like it today. And it's uniqueness. And how did they do it? We got the great earthquake. I come over, we can build something as big that people wouldn't, what I'm trying to say to you, that when we build crumbles and falls, it still stands. God created man. The evolutionary theory representing man as rising from a lower order being, while the scripture declares his origin to be due to direct creative actions of God. Times and years, as a result of careful investigation, the following statement is made. The form of evolution is to establish the claim that original life germs came into existence by natural process. That ability showed in the world of living things there exists a law of development and improvement. The complete breakdown of the claim that by natural process, lower species of plants and animals may be transmuted into higher. The fact that all early and late excavations and research is not really connecting me. Between millions and millions of different species have been found. The fact that mental cells and all the physical sciences have not yet discovered a particle of evidence showing even suggesting any animal ever has reached or can ever reach a point where slowly or suddenly it can come into possession of a living soul, a living mind, a living body. The fact that biologists, geologists, and archaeologists have very rarely silenced the assertion that the human race began laid down through countless ages has whipped itself up to its present civilized state. The downfall of this assertion is scholarly men. For all evolutionists, the recent abandonment of Darwin and the evolution by those who held the theory and who at the present moment are making vigorous assaults upon it. The utter incompetence of evolutionists to formulate any system of ethics or religion that allow approaches under the Bible and view the evidence of real factions show that the hypothesis of Darwin and evolutionists cannot be on the hope of restoration. But Satan keeps bringing it back because man is ever learning but never coming to a knowledge of truth. The positive can be considered. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Man and female created him. Man was called into being by the creative act of God. Genesis 1:27, Genesis 2:7, given a physical organism by the act of formation. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Look at Ecclesiastes, hold a place and go to Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 3:21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast which goeth downward to the earth? Man is a complete living personal being by final action. Genesis 2:7, and man became a living soul. How did he become a living soul? The Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Nashemah. Breath is plural, and man became a living soul. The first statement of scripture is a direct assertion of divine curse in the beginning. God created by law, manufactured out of nothing, the heavens and the earth. No Bible believing Christian can accept any form of evolution. There's no room for it. Darwinism and other manifestations of secular humanism will be repeatedly rejected throughout the Word of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Strong speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. come to the creation of Adam. Genesis 2 is not a contradictory account of creation, but a supplementary account. It goes back to the specific details of the creation of man. The seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, which establishes the principle of the human race long before the codification of the Sabbath day. The law of the Sabbath is incorporated in the law of Moses, does not apply to the dispensation of grace of God the Father in the age of the local church. But the principle of Sabbath rest does, as it comes from the creation itself, Genesis 2, 2 and 3, it typifies for the believer faith resting in Christ. Trust in God to see us through it all. Man's body is a physical part of his physical creation, Genesis 2, 7, 8. Man's soul and spirit is a spiritual part of God's spiritual creation, Genesis 2, 7, 8. The breath of life, we put out to you as plural. God the Father designed the plan. God the Son brought out of his body into creation. He imparted physical life to the body, soul, life to the soul, and spiritual life to the human spirit of Adam. It's my understanding as I study it, God the Father designed the body, God the Son shaped the body, and the Holy Spirit provided from the Father the breath of lives. Eve was taken out of Adam and fashioned with physical, soul, and spiritual attitude in the midst of a second breathing of God into Eve. There's also no scripture which indicates that newborn baby receives God's direct breathing of the breath of lives. Human babies receive body, souls, and dead human spirits from their parents. Some teach, I teach, that they don't have any human spirit. Salvation, the human spirit is placed in them and they're made spiritually alive. You can take your pick there. The key thing is that God created. And you see, if God doesn't permit life when the baby is spanked, sucks in his first breath, if God does not let the breath into the soul of the owner is stillborn. God controls it just as God opens the womb and lets it pregnant. The stillborn child is still but a person according to Job. And I believe that and take that literally, but I'm going to look at Adam now. Adam was given a body from the dust of the ground. He was made a personal living soul and was tracked out of his being, body, soul, and spirit. Zechariah 12:1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel saith the Lord, which stretch forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. So God formed the spirit of man within him. Without the permission of God, there is no breath within it. Isaiah 43:7. Even every one is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. You see, God created man for his glory. Evolution is a slam at God. Evolution would imply that God did not create man at the beginning for his glory, but that he allowed man to evolve up so that man can get better and better and better. You see, it puts the merit upon man and upon evolution, not upon the original concept of the very place in the garden. Adam was placed in the garden for God's glory. Because Adam typified the Son, and the Father's entire plan is the glorification of the Son as the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't typify God the Son as eternal deity, he typified God the Son as the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In harmony with the threefold preparation of man for his life and work upon the earth, the three Hebrew words described in Isaiah 43:7 illustrates the many of three verbs that are created by him. For my glory, that is, he produced him out of nothing. I affirm, I sigh, S-A-H him, that is, caused him to exist in a shape or form appointed. Here I have made Yatsar, Y-T-Z-R-M, that is, made the final disposition and arrangements respecting him. The principle of the scriptures clearly and emphatically show that man is a result of the immediate special creative and formative act of God and was created for the purpose of bringing glory to his creator God. Those who believe in the Son of Man teach that the new began of life on a five-hour scale without which he now lives. The other file that recognizes upward, that teach that man has attained higher heights upon which you may have been placed, it is deception. This cannot be true, because the scripture teaches the very opposite. Indeed, there is no better evidence to show that man has been degraded to a very higher stage. Both the Bible and science again, making man the crowning glory of God. We must not forget that God man, from the inside of his nature, the earth, the animal creation, he is yet supernatural, and being of a high order. Supernatural. And in more splendid nature, he is the image and likeness of God. And in Genesis 5:1, we point out to you, in the book of the generation of Adam, in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made him, that God, that Adam is called the Son of God there. Not an angelic being, but by creation, by unique creation, he is a special one. This is not redemption there. In Genesis 9:1, we read, and God blessed Noah and his sons, said, and be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. And down in verse 6, so whoso sheddeth man's blood by man's shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Man was created by God in an image of God so that he would bring glory to the ultimate one, the one it was decreed to be the firstborn, that he was not born but to the fullness of times, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Colossians 1:15 said he was the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The image of God does not denote physical likeness. John 4:24 said God is spirit, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God any time, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Luke 24:39. Behold, my hands and my feet, that is myself. Handle me and see me, for a spirit hath not flesh and blood, for flesh and bones, as you see me have. 1 Samuel 15:29. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. God is not a man. According to the teachings of these passages, God is not man, he is rather spirit, a perfect, pure, eternal, infinite spirit. As such, he has no physical parts, he's incorporeal. He has no substance, he is invisible. So it may merely form an image and likeness, and likeness in form. Philippians 2:6, and soon being the form of God, that was God the Son, God had not robbery to be equal with God. Look at Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. In resurrection form, in resurrection body, David knew he would have the likeness of God. Numbers 12:7-8. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful all my life. With him that I speak mouth to mouth, even a parable, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Moses saw God the Son, the similitude of God, and the appearances that he made to him. Hebrews 1:2, again we remind you, shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate likeness of God. King James says, who being the brightness of his glory, and explaining that's the fullness of his glory. The express image of his person, that's the expression of his substance. But upon all things, by the word of his power, when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, literally in the Greek, set himself down. Look at Isaiah 6:1. continues, I died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah was given a vision of the temple in heaven, and the vision of God the Son seated upon the temple, upon a throne in heaven. Now, Acts 7:56. I'd like to give you lots of scriptures to check out. And said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. 1 John 2:2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It did not yet appear that we should be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Just what this form is, we do not know what doubtless and proves the actual man, the rational and emotional natures, and the substance of the spirit. As I point out to you, man's creation, according to the modern pattern set forth in Christ, who is said to be the image of God, is the way it stands out. But it includes the pattern. Adam was created trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit. And while God is not body, soul, and spirit, God is trichotomous, body, soul, and Holy Spirit. Man is lower than God, so he is not the image of God in that sense, but yet the image and likeness is there. God has given man intellect. God has intellect. Man placed in Adam moral illnesses. God has moral holiness. Until Adam was tested in sin, he had no moral holiness. He had moral illnesses. God told him right from wrong. We have not tested it. Volition. God is the relatively free being, but God gave man volition. Man can choose to do the directive will of God, do the permissive will of God, and sin and commit evil. And in the areas of the discretionary will of God, man is free to have sausage biscuits and gravy for breakfast this morning, or ham and eggs for breakfast this morning, or yogurt, or whatever. Or no breakfast. Emotion is the responder of the soul. When I know that God has no emotions, well, God does not have emotions, he has emotions, because emotions do not, cannot control God. God does not respond to his emotions, but that God has affections, God has love, God has hate, he hates all things that are sin and evil, he loves all things that are perfect and good. God has eternal love. The Father loves the Son with eternal love. The Son loves the Father with eternal love. The Father loves the Spirit with eternal love. The Spirit loves the Father with eternal love. The Son loves the Spirit with eternal love. The Spirit loves the Son with eternal love. There is perfect love in the triune Godhead. So it can refer to the triune likeness of man as a tripartite being, God a triune being also. And the very, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you holy, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 26:12. She hath poured this ointment on my body. She did it for my burial. Well, somehow, I guess that's a word for body. In Matthew 26:38. Then said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful and unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. Well, Suki, P-S-U-C-H-E, for soul. And in Matthew 27:50. Yielded up his spirit. Well, yield up, P-L-E-U-M-A for spirit. Also found in Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, my hands, I command my spirit. And having makes that mess, he gave up the ghost or the spirit. The Spirit of God lives with him. God is perfect in all things, and God made Adam perfect. But below God, he could not make him God, because there cannot be but one God. Now it's interesting that when Christ dismissed his spirit, the Greek implies an act of will, expression taken with Mark 15:37, Luke 23:46. John 19:30 differentiates the death of Christ from all other physical death. He died of his own volition. When he could say his redemptive work, it is finished. No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down myself, he said in John 10:18. But Christ was body, soul, and spirit, and we are made in the likeness of that, of Christ, except for the fact that when Adam died, spiritually, all men were born spiritually dead. Being made in the likeness and image of God then does not denote physical likeness. It means a formal image and likeness, a likeness and form of Adam, as we said. It refers to his triune likeness as a tripartite being, as God is a triune being. It includes the personal image, both God and man possess personality. Exodus 3:13-14, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come into the children of Israel, and shall say, when the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto them, say unto Moses, that I am that I am. And he said, I shall say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. This aspect of God's image in man remains undestroyed by sin. The one has been marred and made defective. Man still has personality, but defective personality. It must also involve endless being which God has endowed man, Matthew 25:46. And then he shall go into everlasting punishment of the righteous to life eternal. But I mean existence and accepting a part of man's heritage is a creature made after the image and likeness of God. He is indestructible, he cannot be annihilated. It certainly also means intellectual and moral likeness, Colossians 3:10. And that he put on a new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, Ephesians 4:23-24. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, as you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is the regenerate man, is distinguished from the old man of Romans 6:6. New man is having become a partaker of the divine nature and life, 2 Peter 1:4 and Colossians 3:3-4. In no sense the old man made over and improved, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Galatians 6:15, Ephesians 2:10, Colossians 3:10. The new man is Christ formed in the believer, Galatians 2:24-19, Colossians 1:27, 1 John 4:12. Now, Adam was created with possession of intellectual faculties. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam in Genesis 2:19-20. To see what he called him, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature that was his name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not fowl to help meet for him. In Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said, men, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and over every living thing, and move it upon the earth. We live in a day and age today where the animal world is supposed to control us. Secular humanism is so deified the animal world. The life of an animal is more poor than the life of a person. Whatever I hear in Seattle, I forgot what they call it, instead of Russian, Posada, I think it is something like that, a law with very severe penalties for abusing animals. Got somebody get ran over a pedestrian in the streets of Seattle. He's a walking pedestrian, or a bicycle riding pedestrian, and get by with a minor ticket violation. Unbelievable. Mullins, the old Southern Baptist, wrote, "Man resembles God in his possessions of rational nature. Man's capacity in this regard is a source of all scientific knowledge. He reads the meaning of nature and discovers that he is stamped with the marks of reason. Man understands God by reasoning the marks of intelligence in the world about him. Reason man answers to reason God." Adam was a rational being. In this, he differed from all inferior animals. A mere animal may be said to excel man in sagacious instincts. What is instinct? Dr. Paley said, "An instinct is a propensity prior to experience and independent of instruction. All an animal is a bad and reasonable impulse that prompts animals to do certain things without knowing why, caring to improve the matter of doing them. That's the instincts of animals act without with unchanging their uniformity and there is no improvement. Migratory birds perform their migrations, I'm sorry, just as birds did 1,000 years ago. The beaver constructs its habitations and is native over the centuries. The beaver brings its cells in the days of antiquity of all the inferior animals. It has to be said that they are irrational. The difference between them and man is as wide as the poles." Pendleton wrote, "This is evident because men are proper subjects of moral government, and without a rational nature they cannot be accountable. Human government recognizes this view of the matter, for they without having idiots and lunatics responsible. The reason is that in idiots the rational powers have never been sufficiently unfolded to furnish a basis for moral accountability. In the case of lunatics, the intellectual thought once developed has been so impaired as to nullify a moral obligation." Adam, then, possessed intellectual faculties. He possessed a perfect, innocent, moral nature. Ecclesiastes said to man, "Lo, this only I have found, that God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." This is 2, 15 to 17. Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and keep him. Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Romans 5:12-14. "Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Verse 14, "Nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, over even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come." Rather, the contrast is Adam's sin and death, Christ's righteousness and life. Adam drew down into his ruin the whole creation, Romans 8:19-22, in which he is Lord and Head. Christ brings in moral unity with God and eternal life, the new creation, of which he is Lord and Head. Ephesians 3:21-23. Even the animal and material creation curse for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, will be delivered by Christ. Isaiah 11:6-9 and Romans 8:19-22. All right. Pendleton writes, this means that Adam was created a holy being, and this was the chief glory in which he was crowned. It was a great glory to be made like God, his intellectual excellences, but it was a greatest glory to be made like him, his moral perfections. Principal man was created in the image of God, possessing intellectual faculties, a holy nature, and responsibility for developing a holy character. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. Moses there records the origin of the human race. There are two things in these words which draw us to a specific viewpoint we've got to pay strict attention to. There's an unusual solemnity observed at the creation of man. Well, in other days, nothing is heard of but the supper and majesty commands. We pour out these, we're closing the last class. Let there be light. Let the waters of the heavens be gathered together in one place. Let the earth bring forth grass. On this occasion, we instead see a council being discussed. We call it a liberation consultation, a set of preparation for the work, as it were, of superior importance. And surely they were inferred from the peculiarity of the form of the writing that the creature about to be made was of a noble species, the inhabitants of the earth, and destined to a higher purpose. God the Father was not to crown his lower works by bringing forward the last, the best of them. Now remember, man knows lower than the angelic creatures which are not described in Genesis chapter 2, since they existed before the foundation of the earth, the sons of El, the spirit beings. The earth being first and first in the refurbishing of the earth following the dispensation of sons of El, the angelic warfare, the whole thing that was described that we've dealt with before, and God's creation of man. Now, the plural instead of the same of man, and God said, not let me make man, but let us make man in his different methods have been adopted to account for this unusual mode of expression. Some of the Jewish rabbis really spoke to the earth, to the heavens, and to the elements. John Dick, in his systematic theology, commented that I presume that these are words without meaning except for the state this opinion is to refute it. We are informed that it is meant by God speaking to the element or sending them to join with them in the creation of man, and how man was made after his image, that when nonsense is proved to be sense, the opinion will deserve to be considered. Others said he spoke to the angels. But as he said, let us make man. Calls upon his supposition that he called upon him to cooperate with him in the production of another's word. It is not this opinion as unintelligible as the former. Did God need the assistance of spirit beings? What assistance could they give to him? The scripture declares that we have one Father, that one God created us. But now it seems this formation is not correct, and that we have many creators and angels have been concerned, as well as he, to whom alone we suppose ourselves to be indebted for existence. This fallacy being evidently absurd, ridiculous, and stupid. Those of them tell that God spake in the style which is used by kings, who are individuals employed a plural number for greater dignity, whether because they are the representative of the people in their reign. But it must be considered this style was altogether unknown in ancient time. It was a modern day, and consequently that there would have been times I'm sorry, I just saved my throat. Okay, this fallacy being evidently absurd. The idea of speaking in the style of kings being done or why? Because when we consider the style of the unknown in ancient times, that there would have been an obvious impropriety in using it more than 5,000 years prior to its introduction. It would have been understood, it would have been supposed to import that there were more beings, more gods, and more unconcerned in the creation, as merely for the sake of anticipation, the mode of expression, which had nothing to recommend it, an occasion which would have preserved a view of mankind, the fundamental polytheism instead of monotheism. The mode of expression had nothing to recommend it, was strictly examined, it is inaccurate and cannot be excused on the plea of dignity or majesty, because the singular form is evidently more dignified, and it represents the authority of a sovereign as concentrated in a single person and not shared with any individual upon the earth. Therefore, it could only be based upon the principle of the triune God in the Thessal, the Father proposing, the Son and Spirit responding. The language of accommodation to us because God is eternal, omniscient, all knowing. The most natural and satisfying account of the use of the plural word on occasion, this is supposedly a reference to a plurality of persons in the Godhead, which then would seem to be implied in the plural name of God. And I'm one of those, as you know. Elohim, which is manifestly signified in several other passages of the Old Testament. Look at Malachi 2:10. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with a man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Now, what we have before us then is doctrine. The triune God in the ancient economy, the people were acquainted in the energetic consideration was not calculated to mislead them. They knew that God on this occasion consulted with himself and inferred from his words that all the divine persons were concerned in the creation of man. The Son, the Spirit, are seen in the examinations of Scripture and Old Testament prophecy. Finally, we read the Father sitting as the ancient of days upon the throne, the Son coming in his also the ancient of days to the Father. All members of the Godhead are referred to in the Old Testament. A child is born, a son is given. The body of man was made of the dust of the earth, and hence the name Adam seems to be derived. The reason for forming it of such mean materials seems to have been a teaching of humility, which amidst the honors which was to be conferred upon him as man were inferior creatures. He should reflect that in every respect he had the same origin that the beast of the field. Calculated also to awake sentiments of devotion while he contemplated in his own body and mind a proof of the wisdom and goodness of God who constructed a frame of such curious workmanship out of the dust which our first parent was daily treading under his feet. Of a poesy found perfectly and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 139:14. Adam, the first man. Adam created in the likeness of God. Adam, body shaped out of the dust of the ground. Adam being red. Can do full justice to the wonderful mechanism, and whether we consider the form or articulation of the bones and the muscles by which they are moved, or the nerves which convey feelings and activity to the part, or the circulation of the blood, the various organs of secretion, digestion, the action of the lungs, the senses which it communicates with the external world, by the external symmetry and features, we must pronounce it to be in every respect worthy of its divine author and fitted to serve the various purposes of the synth. To it, an intelligent being to whom it belongs. I want you to recognize the fact that it was only the secondary sense that the body of Adam was said to be created. It was not made of nothing but pre-existing matter. The equal power was necessary to produce all that matter, flesh and blood and bones. When the body was fashioned, the Lord God said to save the storm, being the master of the breath of life, who mastered all. And man became a living soul. The idea of his purity for breathing cannot be literally ascribed to God who is our corporal being. The word important at least that God caused the air to enter into his lungs, that the several parts might begin to function, the lungs to respire, the heart to beat, the blood to circulate. Rather, this process may be considered as mechanical. We cannot be cured ordinarily by mechanical causes. If a body be dead, then the next man alive will not set them in the other parts of the system in motion. A living principle is really distinct from the body upon which its operation depends. As a motion machine inspected by human skill is caused by something different from the machine, as we are stirred in. Therefore, although we may not be able to prove that breathing in the man the breath of life necessarily implies the communication is principally what the case requires us to understand the words of the sense, especially the fact that said to have been that man became a living soul. God caused by breathing the breath of life into Adam. That Adam's body began to have biological life, his soul began to have psychological life, his spirit had spiritual life until the fall. Now, whatever the nature of a man is compound, consisting of soul and spirit as well as body, no mention of man in the form of the other part of an entity, we may easily conclude that Moses, who certainly would not admit it particularly so important, here refers to his creation. The body which was made of the dust is plainly distinguished from the soul. When the wise man informs us that his breath, the dust returns to the earth, that rise the spirit returns to God and gave it. Ecclesiastes 12:7. The living soul of man was created in the proper sense of the term. It is not equality. It is not equality, but a substance. As it did not previously exist, it must have been produced out of the nothing by the Father of Spirit. The human soul and the spirit are invisible. And while the body was made out of invisible things, the soul and spirit were created out of the invisible. That's where the Bala verse comes into being there. Human nature was joined together here under this. Although it possessed no quality in common, it might seem, therefore, that they could not more operate upon each other than if they were separated by an animal. Now think about this. The soul and the body operate in conjunction with each other. Although they possess no quality in common, it might seem, therefore, that they could never operate upon each other than if they separated by an animal. Rods of space between heaven and earth, yet by the will of God, which is the cause of all relations and connections between created things. The soul moves the body, and the body affects the soul by its organ and senses, and all its modifications. Thus united, they constitute one individual, as really as the essence of man, like that of the angels, has been perfectly simple. We can't explain the fact, but we are all assured by the experience of it. Now remember that Adam was created an adult, probably 30 years of age. 30 was the age in which later on in Israel someone could enter into the priesthood. Equivalent of a 30-year-old adult. He was physically and mentally a complete adult, able to assume responsibilities and offer things. Adam was given a body. God shaped the body out of the dust of the ground. I want you to watch the miracle and think about the power of what God did to take a human body, shape a body, flesh, bones, and blood out of dust of the earth, clay you might say, shaped it up. He gave it eyes to see. And when he lashed down life and biological life into it, the eye gate was there, and Adam could see. And Adam could look, and Adam could behold. He could smell through the nose gate. He could hear with the ear gate. He had perfect sight. Adam and Adam in the Garden of Eden before sin had the greatest vision anyone has ever seen. I read many times that Ted Williams received a great baseball player received the highest evaluation of eye tests in the history of the United States Marine Corps, Marine Aviation Pilot, whether it was World War II or in Korea. But Adam had perfect sight. He had perfect smell. He had perfect hearing. He could taste perfection. he could touch, he could feel. But God placed within him a soul. The battle of good and evil is fought in the soul of man. But within the soul, Adam was given the senses that came from the soul there. He had volition. He could make decisions for himself. He had conscience. Identification. Conscience allows us to identify with that which is outside of ourselves. He had self-consciousness in which he could identify with himself. He could understand what was going on, the self-awareness of what was happening within his own soul. Who was? He knew that he was. He knew that he existed. The body as the tabernacle was the tent outside of him. He had within him everything that was necessary for the relationship, for communication with Almighty God. He was given the ability to reason. He had mentality so that he could think. Mentality allowed him to identify and qualify and organize all the concepts of past, present, and future. He gave him memory, which he could remember the past or relate to the past. He could identify in the consciousness with what was going on around him right then. He could hope and look forward to the future. He was able to reason, to think. He was a man with his abilities. He had a magic. God gave us imagination. Imagination is one of the things that lets us look toward the future. Affections. We have the affections of the soul. The ability to love. To hate. Concepts are drawn together there with what we have. We have the emotions in which we respond in joy, sadness, or whatever. Emotions were designed to be the responders of the soul, but we often make up kind of a problem because of what we call emotional results of the soul. People allow the emotions to take over. The body of a man. The soul is placed within the man, and when we become born again, the spirit is placed within us. The carnal of the natural man is described in 1 Corinthians 2:14 as the natural man, called the carnal man, 1 Corinthians 21:3, the spiritual man is referred to in 1 Corinthians 21. Body is shown as touching the material world with the five senses of sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. The gates of the soul, which we have conscious, self-conscious, mentality, which allows us, as I said, to have memory, to reason, just relate to the past, the present, the future. Imaginations. Affections. Self-consciousness, we know ourselves. The spirit receives impressions from outer and material things to the soul. The spirit faculties of the soul and the spirit are faith, hope, reverence, prayer, and worship. Faith, Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Hope, Colossians 1:27, hath this hope in him. Reverential fear of God. Psalm 5:7-19:9. Prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the ability to communicate with God, the worship of God, Psalm 95:6, Matthew 4:10. Deuteronomy 6:13-10:20. Adam had the abilities from the beginning as God gave him experiential knowledge to communicate and to worship. When man dies, the soul and spirit separate from the body, and the body is laid in the grave, a sacrificial, a soulless body. so his body can hear, speak, and think and feel. It must have some tangible form. It's not a ghost-like structure. When we die, though, our soul has a soul body that comes upon it because it continues to be able to think and all and describe these souls as soon. And in the documented story of Luke 16:19 of Lazarus, who went to be with the Lord, or went to Abraham's bosom, as I should say, the Old Testament paradise of the earth, which is now part of the third heaven, had his death. The idea, though, that we have body, soul, and spirit. Adam was created that way. I want you to come to appreciate that. I want you to appreciate what he was. I want you to appreciate the fact and say, wait a minute. Adam, from the very first moment, could trust God. He had faith in his creator God. He could have hope for the promises of God, for great things as God, Christ shared stuff with him. He was to fear God. He could communicate with God. And he can worship God, not as a saved, lost sinner at that time, but as a perfectly created person. Father, we thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise that will not return void. Accomplish all you designed for, sanctified and blessed, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.